Welcome into the Cougar Tailgate, where BYU fandom lives. Here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? Lauren McClain here with Cleon Wall, and we're doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. Here's what's coming up on the show today. BYU Athletics is doing several events this week, and next as a countdown to Big 12, which the Cougars officially become a part of on July 1st. As part of our own countdown, we'll be discussing our votes for the top moments in the BYU football independence era. Plus, as we say hello to a conference, we say farewell to independence. We'll talk about if there's anything we'll miss about the Cougars' autonomous situation. But first, there's no denying that most, if not all of us, are chomping at the bit to finally be a part of a Power 5 conference. What are we most looking forward to with BYU joining the Big 12 specifically? Cleon, how are you going to celebrate on July 1st when BYU officially joins the best conference in the USA?
Wow,
And now that we're a part of it, you have to say that.
That's a bold statement. You're saying that BYU is going to be part of the best conference in the USA. I feel like singing I'm Proud to Be an American
exactly.
or something like that, well, since it's going to be part of the heartland. I'm going to be celebrating in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
I'll be celebrating
perfect.
With a Gordo donut. it will be a subdued affair as I munch on my tasty treat in the city that's the home of the University of Texas. And here's why I'm going to celebrate, Lauren, because if the University of Texas had decided to stay in the Big 12
yeah.
and not go to the SEC, I don't think this happens. So I will celebrate the Longhorns and the Oklahoma Sooners that day, saying thank you for going to the SEC, because without their exit, this day would have never happened.
We would
happened.
Not have an entrance. It's so true. As much as it stinks that they're leaving, that is the reason why BYU is in the Big 12. So
I mean, in reality, if
yeah.
we're just talking about competitiveness, I would like UT and OU to stay.
Oh, absolutely.
But if you think about it, BYU would not be in the Big 12 if those two schools had stayed. So this is a good day for BYU. We will celebrate Texas saying, see you later, and we'll celebrate our entrance into the Big 12.
And you get the best of both worlds those first couple of years. You get to play Texas and Oklahoma and
exactly.
then say farewell. I might do a little country dancing in honor of our country counterparts, and I'll probably take my boys to the big party that BYU is putting on that day and ingrain BYU fandom into their little brains little by little. They're actually doing a huge party, and I think it's going to be so much fun. And I'm not the type, Cleon, to start donning the giant like Big 12 stickers like Utah does with the Pac-12 stickers
now
on my car, but I'm all about those who are. I love it. Be proud. Be proud to be part of the Big 12. All right, let's talk about what we're looking forward most with BYU playing in the Big 12. We're just 1 week away from being able to say BYU is part of a Power 5 conference. It's kind of surreal, honestly, and it's surreal being back in an actual conference. But let's talk about why we're looking forward to BYU joining the Big 12 specifically over all the other conferences. Cleon, what do you like about joining this specific conference?
Okay, here's my number one.
Okay.
I like that the commissioner is trying to go on the offensive, and he is really promoting the Big 12. I mean, you just called it the best conference not too long ago. To me, it's kind of like the little P5 conference that could. And the reason why I say that is because it's just what I said. The two biggest names
yeah.
are leaving to go to arguably the best football conference in the nation.
It's
okay?
not even arguable.
Okay,
I mean,
you're
is.
Right. The SEC is the best conference in the nation. But Brett Yormark is trying to make this conference matter by doing some bold things. I mean, what was just announced recently, Mexico. They said, hey, the Big 12, Mexico is a natural extension of the Big 12. We're going to play basketball games down there, and we're looking at playing football games down there. The basketball coaches they've just been invited to go to Rucker Park in New York City to do some youth clinics. That's going to include BYU's Mark Pope and Amber Whiting. They're going to go. That could make a difference in recruiting in the
mm-hmm.
future. Instead of saying, hey, maybe I want to go to UConn, maybe they look at this and they go, hey, maybe I want to go to Baylor. Maybe
yeah.
I want to go to Kansas. Or maybe I want to go to BYU. I want to get out of the Northeast, and I want to go play in one of the best conferences in the nation. So I like that he's out there doing that. I like that he's exploring the idea of making men's basketball a bigger deal than what it is right now. I know men's basketball is a big deal, but he's trying to blow this out saying,
yeah.
guess what? There's more than football.
Right.
I know the SEC is king of football, but guess what? Basketball is really big too, and we want to be that conference that you look to when it comes to college basketball. And basically just saying that the conference is open for business.
Yeah.
To boldly come out and say that, hey, we are looking for teams to join us. We are looking for organizations to be a part of this great conference. I'm not sure UConn is the answer, but I mean, at least he's looking at all avenues and trying to explore and figure this out. So that's my number one, is I like what the conference commissioner is doing to make this conference a strong conference.
I just recently read something that a recruit that was being recruited by UConn was told that, hey, we're probably going to be part of the Big 12. So this recruit had reported that. So who knows what's going to happen
with
UConn. But yes, Brett Yormack is trying to make the Big 12 as attractive as possible and entertaining, and I love that. My number one is, they have a strong tradition in showing in all sports. Oklahoma just won the national championship in gymnastics and softball, even though they're leaving. I know. TCU made it far in the College Baseball World Series and obviously made it to the national championship in football last year. They're always incredible in basketball. Texas won the women's volleyball national championship. It's going to be an uphill battle for BYU to compete in this conference, but I'm really excited for the challenge because better opponents will force you to become better. And I think BYU is already at a very high level, especially in the Olympic sports. They are, I mean,
yes,
they're there. Like, they really are, truly. And they might be, I mean, in the middle of the pack, but I mean, they're definitely there to compete in the Olympic sports. Football and basketball, we shall see what happens there. But I just think the better the opponents, the better you're going to become, and you're going to get better recruits. That's just how it goes. So I think it's going to be fun. That's my number one.
Okay. My number two is, so far, I love these schools, and let me explain why I say that. I've been going out and gathering stories from the Big 12 schools. That's why I'm going to be in Austin, Texas next week. And in the process of doing that, I've been to four different areas, and I just really kind of love these areas. I've been to Iowa State, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech. So I've been to these four areas. These schools mean everything to these communities.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these areas that I've talked about are smaller communities. Out of all of these, probably Lubbock, Texas might be the biggest city out of the three that I just, or the four that I just talked about. And you might think, wait, what?
Lubbock?
Yeah, Lubbock, Texas. Iowa, West Virginia, they have no professional teams in their state. So the fans really, really, you know, glom on to those programs. Mm-hmm. That's their professional program. And we heard from fans that say that. I know that there are other new teams in the Big 12 that's not going to be the case, like Cincinnati or UCF. You know, they've got professional teams in those cities. But there's something about the current teams that are in there where it means everything to that community to be a part of that school and to support those athletic programs. I could say the same thing about going to Stillwater and Oklahoma State. It means everything not only to Stillwater, which is like population 50,000,
right,
but the surrounding communities around Stillwater, it's the same thing. It's just like they love Oklahoma State and they love going to Stillwater to watch games. So I just love the feel of community with some of these programs. And I, by the way, that's not a bag on like TCU or Houston,
right,
or anything like that. But with some of these communities in these schools, it means everything to them to be a part of this conference. And they love being a part of the Big 12 conference too.
Which is going to be a really fun contrast to the WCC specifically, because BYU playing all these California teams where there's so many other things going on in LA and those parts of California and San Francisco and in Portland, Oregon. And so like the WCC was just this tiny little dot on the map. And so attendance to some of these games and matches were just so poor. That's why BYU just dominated. And I don't mean in specifically winning all the time. I just mean dominated in their fandom in the WCC. So it'll be fun going into the Big 12 where, no, there's going to be fans just as passionate, if not more, than BYU fans.
Gonzaga would probably be your only team.
That's comparable.
That would be like a Big 12 program.
Right.
Where it's a smaller community and the fans in that area, not just Spokane, but in and around that area, just really support it. But, I mean, when we talk about supporting sports, when you think about Gonzaga, yes, they really support it, but their gym only held 6,000 people. And wasn't that the second largest gym in the WCC? I believe it was. Next to the Marriott Center, it was the second largest gym. And I guess you could kind of say St. Mary's, but really, no. I mean, St. Mary's is very much a niche. I'm not trying to rip on them. I'm just saying they're a Catholic school in the Bay Area with so many other things going on. It's just a little bit different. 1,500 to 2,000 seat gyms is way different than going to I believe when we were at WVU just this past weekend, their Coliseum holds 14 or 15,000 people. Mm. And the town of Morgantown is only 30,000. So
and they probably fill it up.
And they fill it up because they get people coming in from neighboring communities,
right,
because they love this team so much. So, yeah, it's cool to see these communities just embrace these teams and say, no matter where you are in the state. It was interesting from West Virginia fans. The West Virginia fans, they might support Marshall, but they kind of support WVU too, because they're the largest institution in the state.
Right.
And so they're kind of, maybe you don't find a lot of that, but you will find some of it. They might go to another university, but they also support WVU because they're the
right,
biggest state institution.
Yeah, the Big 12 is going to be just a whole new beast for BYU fans when they're traveling. And that brings in my number two. Fun places to travel to. We got big cities and you got rural towns like we were talking about. There's something for everybody. We've gotten used to consistently playing West Coast teams besides in football. And now we'll get to hit up Texas, Oklahoma, West Virginia, Ohio, Florida, Iowa, Kansas. Like, we're going to be all over the country. Yeah. It's going to be so much fun. If you're into traveling, Big 12 is the place for you.
Yes, and Brett Yormark wants to span both coasts. We'll see if he does that. My number three, I know we've talked about basketball, but I'm going to say I like that football means a lot to this conference.
Yeah.
I know that you're losing Oklahoma and UT. I get that, and it means a lot to those fans too, but I like that West Texas, I used to live in West Texas, and then I went down to Lubbock. It just, there's something about Texas Tech football that they just get amped up about. So I love that it means a lot there. You know, you go to these other places, Oklahoma, it means a lot. Florida, UCF. Now, granted, they're not Florida. They're not Florida State. Totally get that.
Yeah.
But football means a lot. So UCF fans, I think, are going to come out. You're going to go to Ohio. Yes, Ohio State's the biggest team in that state, too. But still, you've got a passionate fan base for the University of Cincinnati there, too. I like that this conference really, really loves their football, even if they aren't the SEC.
Right. And you still got the gritty underdogs like Cincinnati and UCF. And you got fans that are so adamant to be supportive of the underdogs, you know, not the Ohio State or the Florida. They're like, no, we're going to cheer for UCF. We're going to cheer for Cincinnati. My number three is we're going to get an even bigger footprint. Once the Cougars actually start playing all of these teams, especially those in Texas, recruiting opportunities are going to open up. We like to think everyone knows who and where BYU is, but I'm sorry, everybody, they don't. They don't know a lot of people. It's really interesting. We just think we are all-encompassing because there are members of the church all around the country. Not everyone has heard of BYU. In fact, I think a lot fewer than we think. But I think once they're in the Big 12, playing with the big dogs in Texas, word is going to spread about the church school in Provo, Utah, who's making a name for themselves among the P5s. At least that's what I hope they're going to say, Cleon. We'll see what actually happens.
I do have a quick four. I like that football matters in this conference, but what I really like is that men's basketball is like what we talked about, being trumped up. Now, we have Carter. Carter's in the studio with us. He's one of our producers. He joined us last week. He comes from ACC country. If you had to rank, Carter, really quickly, if you had to rank whether the ACC or the Big 12 is the best basketball conference, what would you say right now?
Easily the Big 12 right now. ACC is the best historical conference, but as of late, you can't say the ACC is top of the Power Fives, whatever you want to say there. I would go Big 12 1, then probably maybe Big 10 2, Big East kind of 2A, 2B, and then it's kind of ACC, Pac-12, and go on down.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because I remember growing up, Lauren, and the ACC was the conference because you had North Carolina, you had Duke, and then if you wanted to, maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but if you take maybe a tiny step down, you got North Carolina State, and you had Virginia, and they've become, you know.
Well, Virginia's a powerhouse.
Virginia's become better as the years have gone along. They also were a historical powerhouse when they had Ralph Sampson back in the 1980s. So you think of that and you think basketball hotbed. You think of the Big Ten. You think of Indiana. And you think of Michigan, and you think of some of the great teams at Michigan State that they have. And Ohio State has had some good teams. But it's just amazing to think how much emphasis in the recent years the Big 12 has put into basketball and how good that conference has been. And it's because you have a behemoth in Kansas, and then Baylor's come to play, you know, in the past few years.
Well, in Kansas State.
Kansas State has had good, solid programs.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State has had good programs, too.
Texas.
Yes.
Oklahoma. It is almost top to bottom. Houston now, who's joining the Big 12, has done fantastic in basketball.
Exactly. For such a football-heavy area, it's amazing that the Big 12 has kind of turned into a really good basketball conference. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say about that. Now, Lauren, before we move on to the next thing.
Well, I was going to say, I know you have some things you want to say that you dislike about the Big 12.
Oh, man.
You got to go there. Why do you got to go there?
Do you have any reasons for disliking going to the Big 12?
If you're looking for something negative, you're going to find something negative.
Oh, so what you're saying is I always look for the negative. I see what you're saying here.
No. Ideally, would BYU fit better in the Pac-12? And I don't mean like mindset-wise, probably not, right? BYU fits better in the Big 12 because of its religious affiliates. But location-wise, geographically, it fits way better in the Pac-12. You know, and it's going to be really expensive for fans to travel. It's going to be very unlikely that a lot of people from Utah are going to be heading to UCF year after year. That I would say that's the one negative about it. But
okay.
What do you think?
That's probably my 1A, 1B. It's just geography.
Yeah.
The nearest team that you have in the Big 12 is Lubbock, Texas. And let me tell you, it's not easy to get to Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah.
Lubbock has a small airport. West Virginia, getting to that, you have to fly into Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then drive about an hour south into West Virginia. And by the way, Morgantown is beautiful. But it's, again, some of these places are not easy to get to. Ames, Iowa, you fly into Des Moines and then you have to travel 30 minutes. That's really not that bad. It's just long travel for, I'm going to say, the non-football teams.
Yeah.
It's a lot of travel for some of these teams. And I would rather see them play in the Pac-12. I'm going to say I'm a Pac-10 guy.
Yeah.
I lived in Oregon growing up, so I like the Pac-10, and I've said that before. I wish that BYU were playing the Pac-10 schools because they have a lot of history with Pac-10 schools, playing your Oregons, playing your Arizonas, your Arizona States, your UCLAs, your USCs, even though those two teams are leaving now.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was history there, and I like that history of playing those teams. So it's kind of 1A, 1B. It's the travel. I like the history of BYU playing against old Pac-10 foes. And you could, if you wanted to say even Utah in there, there's something there too. But the other thing that is just, it's the specter of relevance. Is the Big 12 going to be relevant in 10 years' time? Since football...
Is the Pac-12 going to be relevant?
And I No.
Right?
And that's the other thing too. Is that are Utah and BYU in this area where it's just like, hey, we're pretty good, you should include us, but are they going to be included? Because now you have the SEC and the Big Ten, and who knows what's going to happen with the ACC too.
Don't know. What I was going to say, it's those two conferences versus the world, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. So
I guess for me, it's the worry of the unknown, which I shouldn't be worried about. I'm really happy BYU is going into the Big 12. I just hope that it's sustainable and that we see, you know, some fruit that bears fruit. Wow, that was really bad. But you know what I'm saying.
Fruit that bears.
Trees that bear fruit. I don't know. You know what? I'm off the rails here.
I know
here,
you
so
meant.
I'm off the rails
We all know what
here.
You mean. Yeah. We all know what you mean. No, I think, it's going to be difficult for these. People are going to show up for football. BYU fans are crazy. That's what you forget, Cleon. BYU fans are crazy. They show up and they show out no matter where you are in the country, right? Like, it's just they love their team. Members of the church are everywhere. I think as far as that goes, I think it's going to be okay. And I think it's really cool for BYU fans that are around the country to have the opportunity to go to these different schools, you know, wherever they're at. I think it's safe to say that we're not going to miss Independence as a whole. Sayonara is what I say to Independence. It was stressful. I can't imagine how Tom Homo feels. I'm stressed. I was stressed. But there were certain aspects of having that autonomy that were kind of nice. Cleon, what, if anything, will you miss about being independent?
Freedom. Freedom to be able to go out and schedule whomever they wanted to schedule.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they were tied down to playing certain teams every single year. I know it's good to be in a conference. I could make another argument about something else about being in a conference, you know, compared with Independence. But
right.
I just love the freedom. I mean, I love the excitement. It was fun to kind of see who they were going to play each season. Mm-hmm. Just think about last season. Look at this schedule. Oregon, Arkansas, Notre Dame, Stanford, Boise State, Baylor. I mean, we're talking what? How many different conferences there and another independent? We're talking they played teams from all over the nation, and it was fun to see them go in and play these teams. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I liked that they were able to play so many teams from so many different conferences. I just enjoyed that. Even some of the smaller teams that they played, I liked going to play those teams too. I thought it was just a lot of fun. I know that meant there were fewer rivalries, but, you know, it gave a sense of what it would be like to be a national team, you know, like a mini national team, I guess right. You could say. I like that. And I like that ESPN valued the Cougars.
Yes.
That they said, we see value in you. Let's do a partnership here together. And I'm not talking about the money thing. I'm just talking about they saw the value and tried to promote them as much as possible. And we're talking about bowl games or early season games or whatever. I like that ESPN did that. We're not going to see that as much now because now they're just part of the conference. And then finally, if I'm going to go with the homerism here, I like that I could see a lot of games on BYU TV. And that's not going to happen now.
Yep.
I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to be able to see women's volleyball on BYU yeah. TV anymore because it's now going to be on ESPN Plus probably.
Right.
And I guess I got to get an ESPN Plus account if I want to watch those volleyball games, or I go to the ones at home and we'll see what happens to the ones on the road. But it's the fact that I'm not going to be able to see a lot of games locally on BYU TV for free. Yes, I'm a cheapskate.
As most of us are. Truthfully, yes, I'm really bummed about that as well, the BYU TV thing, because I feel like the production, not biased whatsoever, was honestly phenomenal. And anyone who watched it, even from other schools, talks about how great of a job BYU TV would do on those games. So, yes, that's going to stink. I think you never knew where the Cougars were going to play year to year, and it kept us on our toes, exactly like you said. It was kind of fun when Tom Homo would announce BYU was playing Tennessee or Notre Dame or USC or Wisconsin. Independence gave BYU the flexibility to play teams from all around the country, which gave fans from everywhere a chance to see the team play. So that is something I definitely will miss, because if you like a little bit of spontaneity, you loved BYU and Independence. What I did not like, Cleon, was that BYU played this really top-heavy schedule at the beginning of the yeah. year, and then towards the end they're playing these lesser teams. So if they had a strong showing in the beginning, and then they're getting beat by the UABs of the world that just kind of destroyed your whole season, you know?
Yeah.
And there was just nothing
you
were playing for. So that's obviously why you have to be in a conference. But yes, there are definitely some things we're going to miss. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll have our top five moments in BYU's independence era. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McLean alongside Cleon Wall. To prove independence wasn't all bad, here are our top five moments in BYU's independence era. Number five, Cleon, Puka Nacua's game-winning catch versus Boise State 2022. I loved the Boise State rivalry. I think that was a great bright spot in independence. The improbable catch that gave BYU its first ever win on the Smurf Turf and a final victory over independence rival Boise State. That's my number five.
Okay, number four, Tennessee double overtime in 2019. Zach Wilson's 64-yard pass to Micah Simon to put BYU in field goal range to send BYU to overtime. Then the giant push from the O-line and Tyson Williams to get into the end zone to secure the double overtime win. I remember I was actually at a wedding reception during that game, and I just kept checking my phone, like, what's going on? Oh my goodness, they tied it up type of thing, so That was an exciting game.
Before Zach Wilson's pass, I read that there was a 0.4% chance that BYU was going to win that game. And look what happened. I love it. I love college football. Number three, the Manga Miracle at Nebraska in 2015. Lest we forget, Taysom gets injured, and recently returned missionary Tanner Mangum comes in and chucks a Hail Mary to Mitch Matthews for the win. Fans were stunned. Bronco Mendenhall's victory dance was the most memorable part for me of that. He's doing his windy arm dance, and you rarely saw him show emotion. So that was such a great moment in Independence. I loved it.
I see, my favorite was when Taron Houck hugs the referee.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah, love it.
I love when he hugs the referee after he's calling touchdown, the referee, and Taron Houck goes up and gives him a hug and then runs back.
And the ref's like, do I call a penalty?
Yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, could we say 3A the following week's Hail Mary against Boise State? Could we? Let's just throw that in as 3A.
Yes, because it's, yes.
It's kind of nice. It was like a package deal of two Hail Marys. One of them won the game. Another one put BYU ahead. It was just kind of a fun 2 weeks to be a BYU football fan. Number two, 2011 victory at Ole Miss. First game of Independence and an SEC country. BYU pulls off the huge upset after scoring 14 points in the fourth quarter. Kyle Van Noy, man, he was the man.
Amazing.
Sacked the quarterback on third and long, forced the fumble, recovered it for the go-ahead touchdown. That was a great way to start Independence. So it was a
That was the very first game of Independence. How cool is that?
Even though it was, 14-13 was the final score,
yeah.
It was still, at the end, you were really excited for the win.
Because it's Ole Miss. Come on. All right, number one. Taysom Hill versus Texas in 2013 and 2014. 2013, he and Jamal Williams rushed for 441 yards in the win. Bleacher Report later called it the game that changed Texas football. That has to be number one because they were just on top of the world. And then seriously, BYU beats them and Mac Brown gets fired and they just go downhill. And then BYU beats Texas in Austin 41-7 the next year with the famous Taysom leap. See? Good things in Independence. I love it. All right, hit me with some honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions, BYU finally beats Utah in 2021 after 9 straight losses. Yeah, that was a long, long time.
Yeah.
BYU defeats ASU 27-17 in 2021. The noise inside the stadium, everyone talked about how loud it was inside the stadium. And then Tyler Algier's amazing punch out.
So good.
After Jaren Hall threw an interception, and then they ended up recovering the ball.
And Jaren Hall recovered.
Yeah, exactly.
The fumble.
Number three, BYU beats USC and current Cougar quarterback Keaton Slovis in 2019. And then 2016, I threw this in here just because it was an exciting game, not so much the opponent. BYU beats Toledo 55-53. That game was so much fun. And Jamal Williams just ran all over the place on Toledo's defense.
I was sideline reporting that game for BYU TV, and I was like falling asleep. We definitely went past midnight. We definitely went into the Sabbath, that Toledo game. All right, let's bring in Carter for some Independence trivia, which we may or may not be absolutely terrible at.
I also added some WCC trivia as well.
Ooh, okay, perfect. Good.
All right, let's get things going. Let's start with Lauren first.
Oh, no. Here we go.
This one should be easy. What was the
Don't say that.
It should be easy.
Okay, let's hear
what
it.
Was the highest-ranked home win during the Independence era in football?
Highest-ranked home win.
Yep.
Oh, because I think Wisconsin number 6 was on the road. Highest-ranked home win during Independence. I need to know this. Was it USC?
Baylor.
Well, crap. That was just last year.
It was Baylor.
There you go.
Last season.
Well, don't say it was easy because I missed it.
All right, Cleon, kind of along the same lines, what was the highest-ranked away win during the Independence era?
Well, I just gave it to you.
Lauren just gave it to me. She'll say Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly.
They were number 6, right?
Yes, they were. And let's move on. Let's do WCC real quick.
Okay.
So we're going to do a little over-under. Over-under BYU wins against Gonzaga, 6.5.
Under. Cleon.
I'm going to go over.
It's under, 6 wins.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, man.
Oh,
six
yeah.
Wins. I did not know that.
That was a tough one.
All right, over-under, 10.5 wins versus St. Mary's.
I'm going to say under.
Under.
Yeah, it was 10. It was 10.
Oh, you're putting them close. You're really
all right.
Testing us here.
Last two. Which team did the Cougars have the most victories against during their time as an independent?
The most victories against?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they played Boise State the most.
Ooh, that you could include Utah State in there, too.
Oh, and Utah. Oh, it's got to be Utah State.
It's Utah State.
Yeah.
Good job, Cleon.
Boise State and Hawaii, I believe, are tied for second.
Okay.
And then Idaho State's right behind them.
Woo! Bengals!
Oh, my gosh.
And then last one, true or false, BYU won consecutive bowl games during their time in Independence.
True.
What years?
Did they win consecutive bowl games?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It was 2019 and 2020.
They lost in 2019.
Oh, crap.
It was 16
so it's
and 17.
Before that.
2011 and 2012.
I was going to say it probably was early on. It's probably Bronco Mendenhall.
Okay. Yep.
Well, Carter, thanks for making us look stupid.
My pleasure.
We appreciate you coming on. All right, guys, and that does it for us today. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.